Montgomery County, and all the best to celebrate recovery.
At HSHS St. Francis Hospital, your condition is at the center of all we do. From initial diagnosis to lasting rehabilitation, our orthopedic team uses the latest advancements to get you moving again as quickly as possible. But we do more than that. We mend people and spirits with brilliant technology and simple human kindness so you can keep moving. HSHS St. Francis Hospital. We keep you moving.
It is 12:45 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Time now for today's Farm Show, being brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville.
Welcome back to RFD Illinois on a Saturday. I'm DeLoss Yonke with our Washington correspondent, Matt Kay. Here we go again. More talk about water rights that will probably last us for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was going to see the end of this issue, but I think WOTUS is going to outlive me. That's no joke, because we've been covering this issue probably for half a dozen years, I would say. I mean, it doesn't seem to go away since the Obama administration. Farm Bureau says it's Groundhog Day all over again for the controversial Obama-era waters of the U.S. rule. Biden's EPA chief this past week, Michael Regan, moved or implied he was moving to dump the Trump rule that eased the sweeping Obama wetlands restrictions. This apparently has set off explosions, so to speak, around the farm communities in the country and gotten American Farm Bureau pretty worked up, as well as some of the lawmakers on the Hill that we have spoken to from the Midwest. Regan told the Senate Environment Committee that the Trump replacement rule, as well as the original Obama rule, need fixing, but it is the Trump rule that's now on the books. And he says, we're looking at what I believe to be an abdication, quoting him, abdication of some responsibilities for water quality protection for the current rule. American Farm Bureau's Don Parrish says it is very disappointing. Looking for middle ground is what Farm Bureau was doing, and now he says we don't seem to be seeing that. He says red flags are going up. We've heard from both the House Agriculture Committee and the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee that the administration is actually calling out issues that directly affect agriculture, like prior converted croplands and other things. He complains the Biden administration is headed back to regulating dry land, writing the term navigable waters out of the Clean Water Act. Now, ultimately, DeLoss, it will be up to the Supreme Court to decide what is land and what is water. But until then, Parrish says the Biden administration is moving aggressively to sideline any litigation in the lower courts by trying to repeal the Trump navigable waters protection rule and then to replace it with some kind of Biden WOTUS rule. Until they replace that with some kind of replacement rule, it would be impossible for any judge to say that this is constitutional or not, or in compliance with clean water or not. So it's going to be another long slog, and unfortunately for agriculture, it adds a lot of uncertainty to how this administration is going to regulate wetlands.
Oh, boy. Stay tuned, and we'll talk about this for a long time, especially when it has to get involved with the courts. All right, more talk about ethanol, electric cars. We have a clean energy source here, but a lot of discussion on what that future is going to look like.
That's right. In fact, we spoke to the ethanol industry this past week. The Renewable Fuels Association says carbon neutral ethanol blends are as good or better than electric vehicles. Jeff Cooper, their CEO, points to the source of electricity used to power these vehicles. He says it drives us crazy when we hear people talk about electric vehicles as zero emission vehicles because, hey, look, they've got no tailpipe. Well, that ignores the fact that it takes coal and natural gas to generate the electricity that goes into these vehicles. And you might know that there's a bill moving right now, not the Biden infrastructure bill, but a reauthorization of transportation funding. I just moved out of the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee. That bill, which contains over $500 billion for transportation, includes money for charging stations, and that goes to the point of how the Democrats and the Biden White House want to change transportation in this country. So we're going to see a fight over how to proceed, particularly when this bill and the bigger bill, if it does, come before the U.S. Senate.
Wow, a couple of long fights there we'll talk about today. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks to us.
It's Matt Kay in D.C. on RFD, Illinois.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, we have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today. With personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Country Financial, when you're ready to start, we're ready to help. Call me, Wayne Schaefer, at 498-5800.
This is Let's Talk Horses on the RFD Radio Network. I'm Jason Vance. Joining me today is Gene Stewart, a horse trainer and judge, and we are going to talk a little bit about ranch horse competitions. And Gene, a lot of people probably aren't that familiar with ranch horse classes. Talk to us a little bit about what they are and how they operate.
Well, in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of intro into the ranch horse and getting back to the using working stock horse. It is a deal that has really grown in quite a few associations, from the American Quarter Horse Association right into all the other stock horse breeds, as well as many shoot-off ranch horse associations that are nationally recognized now, such as the ARHA and SHOT, which is out of Texas, just promoting the good using horse for people across the country.
Which, you know, ranch competitions and classes is not anything that's really new, but it's changed a lot from the days where, you know, everybody would bring in their horse from the ranch and have a competition in town.
Oh, absolutely. We're really breeding these horses to be very responsive and very adaptable to these classes such as the ranch riding, which are in most of your major breed associations. Has really prospered, and they, you know, we're wanting that good using horse that is sure-footed and is very responsive, you know, and still be able to go trot across the countryside and do something as well. We're adapting these horses to the show pen as far as working our cattle are concerned. It's really given a place for a lot of horses that didn't have a place in the show pen to really shine and really become great horses.
So we're really, most of the national shows have ranch classes now, which you were telling me that this is a really rapid growing part of the horse industry.
Oh, yeah. Just as a horse trainer, you can see that we get phone calls every week of people wanting to get into the ranch horse part of the industry. Even the folks that have never had a ranch background, they see those horses at those shows and notice how natural and everything they can be. And you know, it's taking us back to a place even before I was born that the horses did in more natural things that became more of a using horse, and folks are just really enjoying, you know, that we don't have to make these horses be something because they already are that. In my instance, we take a lot of reiners and cow horses that we can't go mark 73s on anymore in the reining. We can take those horses, show them on cows at the ranch horse shows. We can show them in the ranch riding at the breed shows. Because they are good using horses that can change leads, are responsive, can turn around a little bit. And it just has made a big impact as far as taking an older horse that is responsive that, you know, may not be a rail horse anymore or anything like that.
It seems like ranch horse and ranch classes would be something that it's a different type of thing than your typical horse showing, to where a lot of people would probably be interested in not only watching but participating in that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and like I was saying earlier, it's really became something that people have really embraced. And they think, well, you know, we can go out, we can ride that good responsive horse, and we don't have to dress up in our, you know, $10,000 saddles and our $5,000 outfit to do those classes. It's more getting back to, you know, kind of where your breed associations and whatnot started as far as showing horses. They can bring a horse, and maybe he won't go around the rail to do the Western Pleasure or the Hunter Under Saddle, but he's sure responsive enough and goes around nice enough to do the ranch riding as far as, let's say, AQHA or your other breed associations go. It's just a way, you know, another venue to get people more interested in the horse industry itself.
That's Gene Stewart, a horse trainer and judge. We've been talking about ranch horses. Please tune in next time where we'll continue talking a little bit more about what judges look for in ranch horse classes. You've been listening to Let's Talk Horses on the RFD Radio Network. Thank you so much, and please tune in again next week for Let's Talk Horses.
Today's Noon Farm Show was brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. It is 12:56. Coming up at 1 o'clock, SRN Town Hall. Here's Mad Cowboy Disease from John Michael Montgomery.
This little lady down in Texas, tight tank top and a tan, rocking through religion bridges, drinking beer in a can. Hot to two-step, I was too dumb just to leave her alone. But I made up my mind and I felt the fever coming on. Kind of getting higher. Yeah, my knuckles turned white, my neck turned red. My one good eye rolled straight back in my head. Makes a Texas tornado seem like a cool. Tillis, I said, what's your name? She said, you ain't no player, boy, and I ain't no good for the game. You're kind of cute, so when you're feeling better, give me a call. Ho, ho, ho. And with her black eyeliner, she wrote her number on my trembling ball. Woo! Yeah, my knees started shaking. I was breaking out of sweat.
Starting to get a little rabid, if you know what I mean.
You're listening to WSMI, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.
And W225CX Staunton, W295BQ Litchfield.